Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer.
Brought to you by Digitex. Office equipment solutions North America-wide?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Used to spend my nights out in ballrooms. Liquor was the only love I'd known. But you rescued me from reaching for the bottom.
What a voice. Chris Stapleton, welcome everybody. I know when John Shannon is banging out the country tunes in Toronto. I know it's probably too new of country for some of you out there, but it's an interesting conversation to have once again because it's an incredibly politically charged. It is even a little bit politically charged, you know? Like, there's people that flat out hate country and Western music, and there's other people that love it. And, you're allowed to, you know what? You're allowed to like it, and it doesn't say too much about you if you do. Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you on Oilers Now. We are going to head off to the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline and join our NHL insider, John Shannon, for Legacy Heating and Cooling, paying overtime rates on 24/7 service repairs. That's how you build a legacy, Legacy Heating and Cooling. How you doing, John?
Brothers Osborne, Bob. Brothers Osborne.
Like Dave Osborne, the comedian?
No. There's a new country brother combo. They have a band called Brothers Osborne. It is outstanding.
Yeah?
And for my liking, there's nothing better when you're on a long trip to have a little bit of country music blaring on the car. No question about it, man. No question about it.
You know, I was driving around yesterday because I was showing my family where a golf course was over in the cities. Not that, I mean, I'm the worst golfer alive in Edmonton's history, so I was just showing how to get there, and we were listening to some music, and I was thinking, you know what, there's something about a little bit of country western feel once in a while when you're driving on the highway. It doesn't matter. You know what I mean? It doesn't all have to be, and I've got a 14 and 17-year-old, as you know, so.
I'm with you.
I was trying
actually,
to.
I will tell you what, my daughter, when she was 14, she was the one who kind of got me back into it. Now, that's a long time ago. She's not 14 anymore, but she was the one who got me back into it, and I really enjoy it.
Keith Whitley, I could handle some of that, man. So, but have at it. Keep it coming on the Ashley Fine Floors text line, 780-496-0063. We've had a couple texters already remind me, yo, Stoff, Garth Brooks played like 9 sold-out events in a row at Rogers Place a couple of years ago, so there's obviously an appetite for it. There's no question about it. And by all reports, from what I've heard, he's like one of the nicest, most down-to-earth guys alive, like one of the biggest country stars of all time, isn't he?
I tell you what, on one of the new platforms, I'm not sure whether it's Prime or Netflix, there's a 2-part documentary on Garth Brooks that is absolutely phenomenal about his road to success. And what he did, and he's now married to Trisha Yearwood, and it's a fantastic 4 hours to enjoy music and what he's done for people, and his daughters from his first marriage are in it. His first wife is in it, and they talk about the pitfalls and ups and downs of that world and that life. And at the end of it, you feel better about liking Garth Brooks's music.
Yeah, it's interesting. I know I saw something on Rob Thomas for Matchbox 20, and, you know, parents got separated at two, had no money, was living in the street. All mom got cancer when he was 12 and 13. Older sister went off and got married. He had to look out. It's just an incredible. There's some great stories on the journey, and that's part of it. And I think when you're privileged like we are, John, to work in the day to day minutia. You know, Thursday night we're sitting there talking. You know, are they going to get Nugent Hopkins re-signed? What's the price point that makes sense? Well, I know what doesn't make sense is, you know, what Ryan Johansson or what Matt Duchene. You know, we get to discuss the fun stuff like that, but some of the great human interest stories out there are incredible as well. All right. Hey, the Edmonton Oilers, I don't know if you heard the post-game comment from, actually, Brendan, can you, if you're still in the studio right now for a second, and I'm at the house, so it's...
I'm with you.
You're with me? All right. Yeah. Telepathically, I'm trying to figure this. Can you, John, there was a bit of post-game, a post-game response that made me chuckle. So, Brendan, can you cue up the Derek Van Deese question for Mike Smith again?
Is there extra satisfaction for you putting probably the final nail in Calgary's playoff hopes here, considering the rival they are?
Yep.
Like Mike Smith always gives you like a 25, 30, 35 second response. It just the once it was nuts. That's good stuff. You know what I mean?
That is to the point. And you know, listen, you know darn well that that night that they elected to play Koskinen in Winnipeg to leave Mike for Calgary Thursday, you knew darn well that was for one reason as well. And that was to make sure that Mike had a chance to play against the Flames, and then obviously with the day off had a chance to play against the Flames again on Saturday. So that's very good. I feel bad a little for Derek, but it's a great answer.
Oh, absolutely. Hey, 914 save percentage for the Edmonton Oilers. They're fourth in the NHL. For all of the focus, and hey, the McDavid story, the chase for 100 is going to become a story here over the next seven games. We know that. Maybe it takes them less. But the fact of the matter is the biggest surprise this year, 914, the Oilers are fourth in the NHL. No one saw this coming. I guess never write a guy off, you know, and Mike actually talked a bit about, you know, maybe not being at the best place, you know, coming out of the pandemic. He admitted that. That does not surprise me. He's a father. He's got a lot of young kids. You know, there are some times when, you know, we have to think of people not just as athletes, but also as in his case, as a parent and looking after a young family. And oh, by the way, John, when would some of that family time maybe be called upon? Oh, wait, the summer, right? And said, boom, suddenly we're going to get back and play. But I mean, he's having a, David Staples has written, and not everybody likes David's stuff these days, but David has written a piece saying this is the best goaltending performance we've ever seen out of a 39-year-old goaltender in NHL history, at least statistically, save percentage-wise. He's having an incredible year, isn't he?
See, is David old enough to remember Bauer and Sawchuk?
Yeah. He went down that path, too.
Yeah, listen. At 39 years old, what Mike Smith is doing is, without comparing him to other guys of different generations, is purely amazing. And the other part of it isn't just the goaltending, Bob, and you and I've touched about this many times. It's the level of compete, the level of enthusiasm, the edge that he creates that, you know, by osmosis, you know, goes to his teammates. They play, I think they play taller. I think they play faster. I think they play with more confidence when Mike Smith's in the net. And that's not a knock at Mikko, because look what he did in Winnipeg. He played a great game, and that will come. But Mike Smith has that gregarious nature about him that, you know, he's the alpha dog. And nobody's going to doubt the alpha dog when he's in there. And I think it has helped this organization and helped this team.
I don't know if you could hear it, you know, watching the broadcast, because I think, John, were you not back in Toronto by Saturday? So,
because yes,
I know
you're right.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, Matthew Tkachuk went through and jammed a stick in between Smith's legs and then went up the ice, and Mike Smith was giving it to him.
Yeah.
And he said, like, you could hear him. He's like, I will blank and blank you. And it was, and you could see the guy, like, you could kind of see as Tkachuk went to the there were a couple guys in the Calgary bench even kind of like, you know, like, that's a goaltender that will actually back it up. So,
well, I mean, I don't, to call him old school is unfair because I don't think he's old school. But to me, when you can put the fear in the other team, yep. Like Billy Smith used to.
Yep.
Like Ron Hextall used to. Mike Smith's in that ilk. You know, when you have that piece of lumber in your hand, and you're his size as well,
yes.
And you're as well conditioned as he is, I'm not sure I'd want to mess with him. I really am not. I'm, you know, as much as Matthew Tkachuk, and I like Matthew. I think he's a really good player. But you might have second thoughts going to the front of the net again the next time.
Yeah, absolutely. And without Cassian and Kerr in the lineup, an argument can be made. I mean, you don't want Darnell Nurse fighting, but Mike Smith might be the second toughest Oiler behind Darnell Nurse. So there you go. All right. This isn't just about goaltending. This is also about coaching. And I'll give you an example. In 2018-19, the Oilers obviously had a tough year. They finished 25th in the league in points percentage. That was the split year between McClellan and Ken Hitchcock. The Oilers' goals against average was 3.31. That was 25th in the NHL. Their save percentage that year was .896. That was 27th. Last year, goals against average moved up, improved to 15th in the league, 3.03 goals against per game. And they ended up 14th in save percentage at .905. They are now, going into tonight's game, 10th in the league in goals against, 2.67, in a marginally higher scoring division. Let's not forget, the East is actually the highest scoring division right now. North is the second highest scoring division. And the save percentage is 4th. How much of this is also part of what Dave Tippett and Jim Playfair have brought?
Well, I think I wondered about that. And when we started talking about the save percentage and where they are, you know, team defense is so important. Team defense, we don't give enough credit to team defense, even the forwards coming back. So whether that's Jimmy Playfair's group or that's Glenn Gullitson's group, and then obviously everybody reporting to Dave, I think that there has certainly been a new approach to team defense. I was talking to somebody on Friday after the Thursday game, and even on Saturday. The Saturday game particularly, and the game in Winnipeg, those games the Oilers didn't used to win. There used to be, halfway through the third period, some level of collapse. And whether it went to overtime or went to a shootout or the team lost it. And that's a team thing, Bob. That is 12 forwards working, that's 6 defensemen working, and the goaltender. And that's what's different about this team. We always pointed at episodes of life and what are turning points and what are watershed moments. Perhaps the bubble last year was a watershed moment for this organization. You know, the fear of losing, the fear of winning, and then finally realizing that we hate to lose and losing the way they did in their own building. There's a new sense of team responsibility at both ends of the ice with this organization, and I think that that's reflective of the save percentage, and that's reflective of what Mike Smith has done in net, and in the last little while what Koskinen's done in the net as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be interesting watching. I think we both, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think we both expect Larson gets re-signed. I think Smith at this stage is going to get re-signed. How much of Nugent Hopkins is ultimately going to be up to the Nugent Hopkins camp with Rick Vallette?
Well, I think that Ryan is, first of all, I think we all assume that Ryan wants to stay, and I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
But then with a flat cap and with the ever-changing world of guys coming off of different contracts, Ryan's going to have to want to understand and be part of the team. And it's not a case of just opening the vault anymore. So term and money are going to be key to all this. You know, for the first time, gosh, maybe in in my memory, Bob, and you'll have a better sense of it than I will, this organization actually has some flexibility. Maybe since the summer that they signed Connor and Leon to those big deals, that this organization has some flexibility. But you have to sign certain guys. You know you have to leave space to sign other people a year from now. So Ryan's going to have to think long and hard about how many years and the sum. And I don't want to put a number on it because it's not fair to him and it's not fair to the organization. But, yeah, I think that without saying the words hometown discount, there's going to have to be some compromise on both sides.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think there's any debate about it. And I guess it's what I'm saying, that it's ultimately going to come down to Rick Vallette and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, is he is going to get an offer. We know that. It's just, is that, I mean, we both know, John, the offer is not going to be in the range of the $8 million range for both Duchesne and Ryan Johansson. And I just wonder sometimes if there's maybe delusions of grandeur or what actually might be available out there. Because I don't know if any forward is going to get that type of money in an extension or as a UFA. I'm not sure that's going to happen.
Well, particularly with so many financial question marks in and around the NHL already. I mean, if Mike Hoffman knew when he had the first offer, would Mike Hoffman have taken his first offer rather than waiting last summer? You know, there are so many stories. I mean, even look at your friend Taylor. Look what Taylor had to go through.
Yeah.
There are lots of people that were surprised and shocked. Both those guys got one-year deals.
Yeah.
One-year deals. Hoffman, you know, took a million and a quarter pay cut to sign with St. Louis after having a really good year with Florida. These are such strange times, and it doesn't matter that there are revenues coming in again. It's flat cap until further notice because of all the escrow that the players are going to have to pay. There's a flat cap. We should just get used to saying it. It's going to be 81.5, 81.5, 81.5.
Well,
and then you have to live with that.
And speaking of Hall, I mean, he's performed well since he's gone to Boston. If they end up signing him, now you got Jake DeBrusque. And right now Jake DeBrusque is playing on the last game against Washington. He was on the fourth line.
Yep.
He was playing on the fourth. So does he become available? And do they look for a different type of player if they're rolling with Marshawn Hall and Richie on the left side? They've even got, who's the tough kid out of Wisconsin? Frederick, I think. Trent Frederick.
Yeah.
As a fourth line, right? So, but they don't have any right wings. So after Pastrnak, they're a little light on the right side. Though Smith got a hat trick the other night. So.
Listen, Jake DeBrusque could be on my team anytime he wants. Jake DeBrusque is a good player. I loved watching him in junior hockey. I've loved watching him play for the Bruins.
So if he does become available, you think the Oilers should be in on him then? You'd have time.
There's a couple
for
of guys. I mean, heck, look at his age. I mean, I think
he's going to bounce back. Like, it's been a tough year.
Remember, hey, listen, how many weeks was he out with COVID?
Well,
we still don't understand the ramifications of some of these guys and how it affects you at all. So, you know, that's an issue. There are a few players like that, Bob, I think that the Oilers should be interested in, but I think that's a conversation for a day when we know that everybody who's available in this, and does it change? Does that list change if the Oilers go far in the playoffs?
Fair
does
comment.
It?
There you,
you know?
Go. John, I'm going to put you on the spot. Connor McDavid's got 7 games left. He needs 13 points to get to 100. Does he do it?
You know what? Correct me if I'm wrong. 4 games against the Canucks, correct?
5.
Okay. The answer is yes.
There we go. Sorry. Yeah. All right. John, we'll hook up Wednesday, okay?
Yes, sir.
There you go. That's John Shannon, our NHL insider. And
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And it is 12:53 in Edmonton. We'll take a quick timeout. Come back with the Oilers Now injury report for James H. Brown Injury Lawyers.
Hi, this is Mike Smith from your Edmonton Oilers, and you're listening to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
back, everybody. Wouldn't surprise me if we saw Mikko Koskinen get a couple starts over the next four games. That's pretty much a given right now. Edmonton with four straight against the Vancouver Canucks. Guests on the show receive gift certificates to Roost Chris Steakhouse. Roost Chris is open for takeout and delivery through DoorDash. Maggie Taylor and Chef L. Taff will take care of you at Roost Chris. I went down and picked up yesterday. Bumped into Taylor Medic. It was good seeing him. And a reminder, open Wednesday through Sunday from 5 p.m. until 10 p.m. at night. As we go to the Oilers Now injury report for James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. For every goal the Oilers score this season, James H. Brown will donate $100 to the 630 Chad Santa's Anonymous. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. Trent Brown, Jim Brown, and the gang. James H. Brown, want you to stay safe. Here's Brendan Escott.
So Jujhar Khaira is expected to return this week from his upper body injury, but not necessarily tonight. Chris Russell missed Saturday's game after getting hurt.
We actually have the lines now. Looks like Khaira's in.
Hey, right on. Do you want to just skip to Vancouver then?
You go to Vancouver.
All right. So Elias Pettersson, we know, has been out of the lineup since March 4th. Expensive depth options, Anton Roussel, Jay Beagle, are both day-to-day. Vertanen is out, and so is Brandon Sutter. That's the latest from their camp. 34-year-old Evgeny Malkin returns from a 23-game absence tonight for Pittsburgh. Jared Tenorti of the Bruins knocked him out back on March 16th.
Here we go, courtesy of Kevin Woodley, who writes for NHL.com. Connor McDavid up front with Leon Draisaitl and Jesper Puljujärvi, Ryan Nugent-Hopkins with Dominic Cahoon and Kyler Yamamoto. Ryan McLeod will center. This based on the line rushes today. Tyler Ennis, who would need to be activated. Again, Shore got a little bit banged up on Saturday. So Ennis was with McLeod and Archibald Khaira. They don't have to. He was already on the active roster with James Neal and Alex Chiasson. So we talked about the fact that at some point you go with four lefties. Looks like Haas is out tonight and Shore is out tonight from Saturday's roster. Same defense, Nurse with Barry, Kulikov and Larson, Jones and Bear, and the source again, Kevin Woodley. Who I see often when we're in Vancouver, when we still used to travel. So there you have it. And I think I've already hinted enough that Mikko Koskinen was going to be starting. So Mike Smith will, I would assume. Some people have asked about Stalock. It's a good question. I don't know the answer for that. Maybe he gets one in the next four, maybe not. It's interesting. So Gaetan Haas comes out. Devin Shore comes out, and I think they will have to either use a recall on Ennis or potentially emergency recall, and maybe that's what's happened with Shore. We'll have to get some clarity here at some point. We might have a better idea in the second hour of the show. We have Jerry Johansson coming up from the Sports Corporations. He's got one of the biggest books out there in terms of clients, including two goaltenders expected to go in the top 15 of the NHL draft. He's got Logan Stankoven that plays for the Kamloops Blazers. It's playing on the U18 team today at 2 o'clock. And we'll also talk a bit about the market and how dramatically it has changed. And you heard John Shannon mention flat cap 81.5. Off to a global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell. We'll be back with Jerry Johansson shortly.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.